Mark chapter number 6. Everyone else, please join us in standing for the reading of God's word as we get into our text. Guests and visitors, we've been marching our way through the book of Mark, and we will pick up on verse number 30 with our focus on verse number 34. And then we will run to the Old Testament and exegete a passage from there. Beginning in verse number 30, the word of the Lord says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot hither out of all the cities, and went about them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, and saw much people," later we'll read that it's 5,000 men, "saw much people, he," that's Jesus, "was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Father, we need you to come and teach us many things. We need you to send the Holy Spirit into this assembly. We have guests and visitors and people from out of state and people here for the very first Sunday. People, no doubt, who have assembled to hear from you. Quite frankly, they don't give a rip what I have to say if I'm not representing you well. Father, help me to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are. Shepherds must shepherd God's people well, part one. So we already know we're going to have a part two. Half the sermon today. You must come back next week to pull it together. It is awesome to have Frederick Kane here and his wife Helen. Frederick had a heart surgery maybe 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks ago. Then had to go back in the surgery for a slight modification. And you're doing well, evidently. You're here with us. And you're eating ice cream. So, I mean, that's all there is to life, basically, brother. You're in the house of the Lord and able to enjoy a good bowl of ice cream. Life is good. Did we have any other guests or visitors that we missed before we get into the Word of God? I didn't want to miss anyone. All right, so let's get into our text. Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people. And Jesus was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Not a far, far away God. Not a distant God who has no clue who you are. Not a God that's far, far away. But an intimate, personal, loving, kind, compassionate, caring God who looks out at a multitude of people and his heart is moved. His heart is broken. He is hurting within because he sees Israelites who are sheep with no shepherd. No shepherd. Nobody caring for them, nobody watching over them, nobody protecting them. The Greek word shepherd in a Strong's Concordance is G number 4166. It's poimen. It's a masculine noun. It refers to the people who shepherd or herd or watch over or care for flocks of animals. It's also used in our Bible as the preceding officer, manager, director, assembly. Christ is referred to as a shepherd twice, uppercase S, in 1 Peter 2 and Hebrews 13. It's also translated one time as the word pastor. This is what a shepherd does. A shepherd in the Near East was responsible for watching out for enemies trying to attack the sheep. The shepherd would defend the sheep from attackers. The shepherd would heal the wounded and the sick sheep. The shepherd would find the lost and trapped ones. He would go out and get them. The shepherd would love and share in the lives of the sheep and literally earn their trust. This is what a shepherd does. You say, why are you telling us this morning about what shepherds do? Well, first, because we're at 6:34, a shepherd with sheep, no sheep with no shepherd. But more than that, I want everyone in this church to understand why I must and why every shepherd in this congregation must take their job so serious. So serious. Why it's so critical for you to have a shepherd. There are so many people in Fayetteville, thousands upon thousands. thousands of people in Fayetteville who claim to have a relationship with a great shepherd and have no relationship with a local shepherd. They don't have a pastor in their life. They don't have a church that they're a part of. There isn't a specific fold or flock that they're in. They claim that Jesus is their great shepherd, but they're not using any of the under shepherds that God has ordained. In today's sermon and next Sunday's sermon, we're going to talk about what does a shepherd do? What is a shepherd's responsibility? Look at me, with me, please, at Ephesians 4:11. Christ, the great shepherd, the ultimate shepherd, the good shepherd of John chapter 10, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Amazingly, this was prophesied in Jeremiah 3:15. Hundreds of years before Christ would actually give the church the apostles, God said through the prophet Jeremiah, I'm going to give you pastors. I'm going to give you shepherds. I'm going to give you people that will, notice, feed you with knowledge and understanding. And please look at the screen with me at this verse. According to mine heart, these shepherds will not come because they're part of the tribe of Levi. These shepherds will come because God calls them to be shepherd. God calls them to be shepherd. God's heart is so moved toward a particular man that he calls them to shepherd his people. The noun shepherd has a verb counterpart, Now, in the English language, we would say shepherd and shepherd. Like I said in our title, shepherd, shepherd. And we would understand the noun shepherds. Hey, Adam, it's good to have you home. When'd you slip in? And you didn't even say anything about it? What's up with that? When people come back from deployments in this church, they say hello. So welcome back. Good to have you home. Praise the Lord that you are safe. Amen. Is there anyone else trying to fly under the radar like that so we can get that over with right now? Welcome home. So now back to the sermon. Greek word 4166 is the verb of shepherd. So I can say shepherd, shepherd. Shepherd the noun, do the work of the shepherd, the verb. And we're going to show you that throughout the sermon this week and next week. So let's define a shepherd. It's one who tends sheep. It's one who pastors. It's one who guides or guards the manner as of a shepherd. There are all kinds of references to the shepherd motif throughout the entire Bible. Many references. The primary one we want to look at today is Ezekiel 34. And quite frankly, I found it amazing, so turn there please, that Mark 6:34 has this amazing parallel in Ezekiel 34. I don't think that's an accident. Quite frankly, I don't think that's an accident. I know that the verses in the chapter divisions were not in the Hebrew Bible. I recognize that. But I also believe that God has been watching over his word for thousands of years, preserving it, ensuring that it's maintained its accuracy, ensuring that it has not left the planet. And so please look at Ezekiel 34 with me. Here's our two-week game plan. This is our roadmap to success for this time of study. I'm going to show you verse by verse Ezekiel 34. Then as much as possible, I'm going to show you as many New Testament parallels as possible to prove the unity. So let me stop and pause and make sure that you understand what I'm saying. Please recognize that your Bible has not always existed as one whole. In the beginning, you had an Old Testament canon. I'm holding up to you Genesis through Malachi. This was in Hebrew. This is the Bible that they had at the time of Christ. Translated into Greek, it was called the Septuagint. Then the apostles of Jesus Christ gave us the New Testament. It was bound together into one book that we call the Bible. 66 canonical books. What I want to show you today, this morning and next Sunday, is although that we have three languages, primarily Hebrew and Greek, 40 different authors, 1,500 years, three different continents. I'm going to show you throughout this sermon amazing unity. Unity that could not be there by accident. Unity that could only be present if there was a divine inspirer of these 40 authors. a God, the Holy Spirit, who is leading the process of giving us one canonical book. And the more unity I show you, the more confidence you should have. The more unity I show you between the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, the more you should say, my Bible's something special. My Bible's something special. This is a special book right here. I need to study this book. I need to apply this book. I need to read this book. I need to carry this book to church. And then number three, we're going to draw application. So let's look at Ezekiel 34, verse number one, please. Ezekiel 34, verse number one. So our prophet is Ezekiel, and the chapter opens up with verse number one. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, notice, son of man. Now right away, that ought to get your attention, son of man. Because if you know your New Testament, you know that Jesus is referred to as the son of man over 80 different times. So let's right away, let's start grabbing the parallels and getting our mind wrapped around there. This is written probably 500 years before Christ comes on the scene. So we've got God the Father talking to the Son of Man 500 years later, Mark chapter 6, verse 34. We've got the Son of Man looking out unto the people, 5,000 at least, seeing them as sheep having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd. We've got the Son of Man looking out on people and saying, I care about you. I love you. I'm crazy about you. And I can't believe there isn't a shepherd in your life. I can't believe there's no one shepherding these people. Who's going to shepherd these people when I leave? Who's going to take care of these people? I can't believe these religious leaders are not doing their job and shepherding people the way they're supposed to be shepherding them. Over 80 times, Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man. Now notice the next phraseology that you have. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Whoa. God says to Ezekiel, go out there and find those religious leaders. And find them and speak right into their faith. And confront them directly and say unto them, woe unto you. Woe unto you, religious leaders. Woe unto you, you shepherds. Disgrace unto you. Problem unto you. Grief unto you. Heartache unto you. Woe unto you. Why aren't you doing your job? Why aren't you shepherding the way you're supposed to be shepherding? Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? It's not an accident that 34 different times Jesus said, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you, scribes, woe unto you, Pharisees, woe unto you, hypocrites. Let's make sure we all understand this morning very clearly. God has a major problem when shepherds don't do what they're supposed to do. God is not okay with shepherds not shepherding. God doesn't cut them a bye and say, hey, I understand. You're probably a little weary, probably a little selfish. Don't worry about it. It's okay. God has a major problem when shepherds don't shepherd. Why? Why? Because he cares for you that much, Meredith. He's crazy about you. And Meredith, God wants a shepherd looking out for you. God wants one of his under shepherds knowing you and caring for you and praying for you and teaching you the word of God and mentoring in your life and guiding you and directing you. And when you don't have someone in your life like that, you will not be as taken care of. Every one of you in this church, every one of you right now, think about a time in your life when you were not faithful to a local church. Think of a time in your life where you're not connected to a church and a pastor, and think about how your walk with the Lord was during that time. Right now, think right now. Remember a time in your life, because there isn't hardly anyone in here that cannot remember a time in your life when you did not have a local church and a pastor pastoring you. Think about how your walk with the Lord was at that time. Great, awesome, terrific, it was the best in my life? No. Not at all. The fact of the matter is God ordained that shepherd shepherd. It's God's plan to raise up from within the people of God to shepherd them. He gave them apostles and evangelists and teachers and pastors for an express purpose. And at the time of Ezekiel chapter number 34, they weren't doing their job. They weren't doing their job. 34 different times, woe unto you, statements of judgment. And so what I find in the text is this amazing Jesus who one minute he's looking and he's compassionate and he's kind and he's tender and he's just so in touch with the people. And then minutes later he's walking up to a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a hypocrite or a scribe and saying, woe unto you. And really what you've got is this perfect balance of grace and truth. Perfect balance of grace and truth. Knowing when grace is needed, knowing when mercy is needed, knowing when compassion is needed, and when they need to hear the truth. Sometimes the truth is harsh. Sometimes the truth is in your face. Sometimes the person needs a truthful statement, and sometimes they need just a big hug. Just a big hug. Just someone to cry on the shoulder. Someone to listen. And Jesus knows when you need each. Between Ezekiel 34:1 and the woes of the Son of Man, perhaps 600 years have went by, somewhere around 600 years. And here's the amazing thing, folks. Nothing had changed. For 600 years, nothing had changed. Ezekiel, woe unto them. Jesus, where are the shepherds? For 600 years, Israel couldn't get it right. Nobody was shepherding the way David shepherded. Nobody shepherded the way Samuel shepherded. Nobody shepherded the way Abraham shepherded. Those shepherds were gone. Nobody shepherded the way Moses shepherded. Look at verse number 2. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? How in the world are the shepherds eating and the flock starving? What's going on? This is an indictment against shepherds. This is God Almighty looking down at Sean Harrison saying, what are you preaching? What fills your sermons? Fluff? Topical messages? Felt good needs? Touchy-feely things? Psychology? Pop psychology? Money management? Where's the gospel in your preaching? Where's Christ-centeredness? What's going on down there, Sean? Do you ever say anything that's got any meat to it? Don't you see my sheep? They're starving to death. They come in looking for food and they leave just as hungry as when they left. How many have been in a church like that? Yeah, I have. We spent 3 years in Louisiana and it was tough. Going from church to church, trying to find somebody that would preach the word. They'd get someone preaching the word and the church would fire them. They didn't want someone preaching the word. I'm going to show you a parallel from Acts chapter 20. So you're holding your thought in Ezekiel with this idea of feeding. And I want to run to Acts chapter 20. Let me set the context for you. Paul is en route to Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, he will get held up and captured or arrested. And eventually he'll end up in prison in Rome. He gathers the elders of the church. The elders of the church. My pointer's not working. That's why you keep seeing me do that. There's nothing red coming out. I don't know why. The elders of the church. He calls the elders of the church. I want to show you elder, pastor, bishop. I want to show you those three words all pulled together into one guy or guys or team that feeds the sheep. So elders in verse number 17. Jump down to 28 now. Same paragraph, same context. Paul talking to the elders, and this is what he says. To the elders at the church at Ephesus, his final words, departing words. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which God the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The word overseer there is bishopric. It's where we get the word bishop in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. So we've got elders who oversee, and now notice the word feed. It's the Greek word that I showed you in the beginning of the sermon, 4165. It's the verb of shepherd. So are you getting it? Elders oversee as they do what? Shepherd. Who are they shepherding? The church of God. The church of God which he purchased with his own blood. The church of God, that's the local ecclesia. That's the one that has bishops or elders or pastors, has deacons. They assemble as a congregation. I'm not talking about a parachurch ministry. A little meeting in a classroom on a Tuesday night is not the same as the local church who comes together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I probably just offended somebody, so let me back up and just try to provide a little clarity. Nothing wrong with those type of ministries. They add to and supplement the church, but they are not a replacement for the church that Christ died for. They are not a replacement for the church that Christ died for. Churches have under-shepherds who shepherd people. Okay? That's God's plan, as I will show you over the next 2 weeks. And there isn't a plan B. Look at verse number 3. Look at this indictment. You're not feeding the people. You're not feeding the people. Say unto the Son of Man, go find those religious leaders. Go find those under shepherds. And you find them and you let them know they're not feeding my people the way I want them fed. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now look at verse number 3. You eat the fat and you clothe you with wool. You kill them that are fed. Are you getting it? You're fleecing the sheep. You're fleecing the sheep. They're starving to death and you're eating them. They're lean and hungry. You don't take them to green pasture. You don't take them to still waters. You don't protect them from the animals that devour them. They're there just for you. Creflo Dollar has no business driving a Rolls Royce. No business. And you've got no business giving a penny of God's money to such an organization. You don't buy his books. You don't give money to him. You don't watch him on television. You recognize he is a charlatan. You don't give him a bye. Hey, Sean, good to have you here for the weekend from Germany. I'm kicking all kinds of people. I'll just keep preaching and we'll find everybody eventually. When do you go back? Tomorrow. All right, safe flight for you. You eat the fat and clothe you with wool. You kill them that are fed. Trinity Broadcasting Network, you know, that's that nut jobs on television, claim to be Christians. Every now and then you're tempted to watch it. The president made over a combined household income. It's a cool deal when the president is the husband and the wife is the vice president. That always works out well for personal finances. Together they had a combined income of $1 million. Where'd that come from? Their hard work, sweat, labor? No. Fleecing. Fleecing of who? Sheep. Fleecing of sheep. You sending in your money to some organization because you heard some little clever message and you thought, oh man, they're praying over that robe or they're praying over that cloth or they got that holy oil and they're pouring it on there. I better get into some of that. It's exactly, it's not any different. 2,600 years later, God's looking down at these organizations and saying, you're ripping my people off. You're ripping my people off. You're just like this. You eat the fat, clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, and you're not feeding them. If God does not change, and he does not, if God does not change, and he does not, what would he say when he looked down and see Joel Osteen with his $10.5 million home? No shepherd in the world's got any business living in a $10 million home. No shepherd in the world's got any business living in a $10 million home. And you shouldn't be buying his books either. Every time you buy his books, every time you buy a little keychain, a little devotional, a little trinket, you're helping pay for his home. Do you understand that if he would downsize to live in a $1 million home, we'd have $9 million to fund missionaries. You can fund a lot of missionaries over $9 million. You don't give him a credit. You don't give him an ounce of your time. You don't buy his books. You don't watch him on television. You go, charlatan, charlatan, charlatan. Yeah. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Ezekiel 34, my sheep aren't getting fed and you're ripping them off. Mark 6:34, sheep, no shepherd and God's moved with compassion. November 13th, 2011, God looks down and says, what are you doing living in that house? Downsize. Everybody ought to mail him David Platt's book called Radical. Here's the Joyce Meyer family compound. And I know we got some Joyce Meyer fans in here. Stop. Look at this. This is her house. This is son's house. Number four is the daughter's house. There's the family pool. You know who paid for this stuff? The body of Christ. Sheep. It wasn't the heathens that were paying for this. The Muslims weren't sending their money over. It wasn't the Buddhists that were sending their money over. It was God's people getting ripped off. Nothing changed. You got no business buying her books. If she was truly in touch with Christ, she'd sell the whole thing. Yep. Sell the whole thing. She doesn't care about people. You say, who are you to be so harsh towards her? I will show you in the end of the sermon from Hebrews 13:7 that you are to examine their conversation, their lifestyle. And in examining their lifestyle, you can make an assessment for yourself. So I'm going to examine some lifestyle. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. Okay? That's outrageous. Second part of verse number 3. You eat the fat, you clothe you the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Now I want you to understand how awesome your God is. Let's make big of our God right now. Our God is so awesome. He cares for you so much that he's looking down, and when his shepherds don't do what shepherds are supposed to do, he says, get them out of there and give me some new shepherds in here. Can anybody coach the team? We want to win. I need to get a new coaching staff in here. Why? Well, the players want to win. Why? Because God cares for you as sheep. God's crazy about you as a sheep. God wants you to be fed well as a sheep. God cares about you. God cares about your needs. God cares about your heart. When your heart aches, God's heart aches for you in Christ Jesus in an amazing way. God cares about you. And when shepherds aren't shepherding, you get them out of there. And you tell me right now, if the day I stop shepherding the way I'm supposed to, and you're not getting fed, you get me out of here and you hire somebody that can shepherd the right way. Go back, Art. I'm sorry. I wanted to show them a parallel. Jesus was moved with compassion because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. So what's the solution? And he began to teach them many things. If you're in a church and they're not being taught anything, you go find another church. Yes, I don't care whether your grandparents were buried in that cemetery and mama owns the pew. If you're not getting fed in that church, you go find yourself another church. If you don't learn something when you come to church, something's broke. You should be growing when you come to church. You should be getting a better understanding of the Word of God. What I'm showing you today is the amazing unity between Ezekiel 34 and Mark 6:34. And the only way you can have that unity is if the same God inspired that Son of Man and sent that Son of Man. Amen. Paul said in Acts 20:27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the counsel of God. You know what that means? That means you're going to preach tough messages on homosexuality and tithing and difficult topics. Right. That means you're going to touch on divorce. You're not just going to bury it as well, it's, you can't touch that and can't touch that. And all that's left is a bunch of felt good messages, like having dessert, 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 dessert. Sometimes you need some cauliflower. So the primary application is Jesus taught them. In the passage, the secondary application is that Jesus fed them, actually fed them. He fed them. They didn't leave hungry that day, as we'll see in a couple weeks when we get to it eventually. He took a couple fish and a couple loaves, and he fed them. They left mentally or spiritually nourished, and they left physically nourished. And that's why in that narthex right there's a whole bunch of baskets, because we want to make sure there's not a single family in the bottom of Christ that doesn't have a turkey on Thanksgiving Day. Because the way it ought to work in the body of Christ is if we're eating good that day, we want others to eat good on that day. And when we hear somebody in the congregation is hurting financially, we're going to help them out as long as they're willing to work. We ain't paying money to people who are lazy. They don't like that four-letter word. You know, W-O-R-K. That's why America's broke. B-R-O-K-E. Because nobody wants that. W-O-R-K. Look at what Jesus told Peter after the confrontation concerning his denial of the Lord. You remember that? Denied the Lord three times with cursing. Let's look at this verse. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Sean, do you love God? Sean, do you love God? Do you really love God, Sean? Do you really love God, Bill? Do you really love God, Dwayne? Do you really love God, Sunday school teachers? If you're a Sunday school teacher from 2 years up to our oldest, raise your hand right now. If you teach some, then that means you shepherd. Join the shepherding ranks. If you work on Wednesday night in any way in Awana, raise your hand. Join the shepherding ranks. Come be a shepherd with us. We're all under shepherds for King Jesus. Are you getting it? So let's look. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. God, you know I love you. Jesus, you know I'm crazy about you. So then what? Then what? Feed my sheep. They're not my sheep. This is God's church. This is not my church. This is God's church. It's God's church. And the instructions are very clear. You want to be an under shepherd for God? Feed his sheep. Take care of his sheep. Guide his sheep. Take care of his sheep. Oh, so let's go back to Ezekiel, verse number 4, first half. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. Let me show it to you in a chart. The condition diseased, the action strengthened. The condition sick, the action healed. The condition broken, the action bound up. The condition driven or wandered away, the action, go bring them in. The condition lost, go find them. Anytime shepherds don't do this, you're not shepherding. You're not shepherding. This idea of they'll come and go as they please is not God's plan. Make sure you understand something. God's plan is that there's somebody shepherding after you. Somebody shepherding after you. So who's shepherding after you? And it ain't your preacher back in Mississippi. You've been here for 3 years on Fort Bragg visiting churches. Hello? You need a local shepherd. Okay? That guy in Alaska is not shepherding you anymore. He's got sheep in Alaska that he shepherds. It's time for you to find a local congregation. And oh, by the way, let me just go ahead and continue offending everybody while I'm at it. Okay? The Fort Bragg Chapel cannot shepherd you when they're rotating chaplains in every single week. Now, I appreciate chaplains, and I praise God for their ministry. And there's clearly a need in Iraq and Afghanistan and places like that. And I want battalions to have counselors and people who preach the gospel. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you're assigned to a local community where there is a gospel-preaching, Christ-centered church, you don't avoid that church to go hang out in a chapel so that there's no accountability in your life. You find a Bible-believing church. You say, it's not going to be this one. Go find another one then. But you find some gospel-centered, Christ-exalting church, and you connect into the body of Christ. You cannot have a pastor when there's a docket and you can't even tell who the chaplain is going to be 6 months from now as they rotate in on like a DA Form 6. It's not the same. That's a roster. That's an army roster that they use. Shepherds have a responsibility to keep sheep from wandering away from the fold. That's what shepherds do. So every now and then, if you're in a house of God and there are shepherds, you're going to feel, ugh. Yeah, did you get that? That's somebody jerking you by a spiritual staff. Come on back. Come on back. What are you doing out there? Get in here. Say, way too physical and harsh for me this morning. Obviously, we don't go around hitting people here, okay? There's no physical staff. Could be a text message. Could be a phone call. Could be somebody knocking on your door. Could be somebody sending you an email, a postcard. Those are all extensions. That's all a reach out and saying, come on, let's go, get back in here. What are you doing? There's a body of Christ over here. Corporate worship's happening. Getting together for Bible study. You can't do this on your own. God's plan is that there's a shepherd shepherding you. Amen. So here we go. This is our practical way of doing it. Here it is right here, folks. We ain't doing this just for the sake of doing it. This is dude and dudette. And they're attenders. They haven't figured out that they need a shepherd. They just want to float out there. You know, no shepherd. They haven't figured out they need a shepherd yet. This is the services they go to. Man, these are awesome. 8:30 service. They do that so they can help parking at the 10:45 service. Check in with Sunday school. Get out of here to free up a parking spot. Come back at 6 o'clock. Man, these are my kind of Christians right here, man. 6 o'clock. That's tonight. Hebrews chapter number 10. Back here on Wednesday night and they got kids in Awana. Okay. This is their email address. dude@gmail.com. This is where they live. See, I don't want anyone knowing my phone number. I don't want anyone knowing my email. I don't want anyone touching out to me. Really? Then you don't understand God's plan for shepherding and sheep. Right. You don't understand it then. You're avoiding it. Let me explain something to you. At nighttime, the shepherd would bring the sheep back in. And they would spend the night in some kind of a fenced-in compound of sorts, some kind of rocked wall. So we'll use this right here. And there was only one entrance in and one entrance out. And the shepherd would sleep across the entrance like this in protection of the sheep. He would sleep across here. All the sheep were inside there. And you know what he did? He counted them in. He counted them in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He counted them in. And in the morning when it was time to go get fed, it was time to go find some green pasture, it was time to go find some still water, he would count them out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Because he knew his sheep and they recognized his voice. John chapter number 10. You know what we're doing here? We're counting you in and we're counting you out. Why? Why would you do that? Because we care about you. We care about your spiritual case. We want to make sure you know somebody loves you in the body of Christ, knows your name, wants you to connect, wants you to get involved. Why do you think I teach the first class? I could just delegate that down to somebody else. No, I want to know who you are. I want to get to know you intimately and personally, know how you think, know what's going on in your life. Verse 4 says, but with force and cruelty is how they ruled him. And Jesus commands a completely different leadership style for the apostles. He says, it shall not so be among you. Whoso shall be great among you, let them be a minister. So the pastor is the chief servant in the local church. You don't exist for me, I exist for you. I am here to serve you, to help you. That's my job. To make sure you get fed, to take you to still waters, to guide you and to protect you. And these were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Paul says it like this. For I know after this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among, and they won't spare the flock. Right now, mark my words, mark my words. There is an incredible concerted effort being made in America to normalize and legitimize Mormonism. Every effort is being made to bring Mormonism into the fold. Every effort is being made to normalize it and legitimize it. People want us to think like this: Baptist, Methodist, Mormon, Presbyterian. Every effort is being made to bring that into the fold. You know why? Because preachers aren't preaching the truth.
Right.
That same charlatan who lives in a $10.5 million estate is not quite sure whether Mormons are Christians or not, and can't say whether Mitt Romney is a Christian or not, and isn't willing to make what only God can judge. You know what he is? He is the shepherd of Ezekiel 34.
Right.
And what happens is grievous wolves come in. Why do they come in? Because shepherds aren't shepherding their people. And they're not teaching them truth. And they're not teaching them who are the enemies. They're not preparing their people for TBN. They're not making them ready to go. Garbage. Unorthodox. Verse 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. So this is what is amazing. Would you please stop and listen? Wake your husband up right now. Please listen. God said, I can't find a single shepherd to do what I need to be done. Nobody's doing what needs to be done. Nobody's doing it. Nobody's seeking them out. Nobody's going up into the mountains. Nobody's going into the caves. No one's looking for the sheep. No one's crossing the boundaries and looking for them. No one's going up here where no one else is. No one's looking for the sheep. No one's going where they are and looking for them. That's not happening. Look at it very clearly. And none did search or seek after them. So here's what I want you to get, church, this morning. So God does it. God does it. God sends himself in the form of Jesus Christ to go do it. God says, if nobody will look for the sheep, I'll go look for them. I'll go do it. I can't find a single Israelite religious leader. They're Pharisees, they're hypocrites, they're Sadducees, and they won't go look for the sheep. So God himself sends himself. It doesn't get any better than that. That is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I was a lost sheep having no hope, and God came and found me. I wasn't looking for him. I was lost. I was trapped. I was trapped in darkness. I was lost as lost could be. My legs were broken. I was diseased. I was sick. And he came and found me. Yes. Yes. Give him some glory. Give him some glory. You were lost in Catholicism. You were lost in idol worship. You were lost in your mess. And there wasn't an under shepherd to come find you. So God sent himself, his only begotten son, to come look you up. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Praise God for an awesome gospel. Take me to the next slide, Art. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Ezekiel 34, Son of Man, go say, nobody's doing what needs to be done. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to do what no one would do in Ezekiel 34. Are you getting it or not? Say, why are you so excited? Are you kidding? Where have you been? I've got to give an account for the way I shepherd this church. You will not have to give the account that I have to give. You're not going to be standing and say, why did you preach on that subject? No one's going to ask you at the judgment seat of Christ why Sean preached on this subject on Veterans Day. I'm the only one that can account for that. That was from Luke 15. Let's look at it. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Hey, time out. Let's stop for just a minute. Nobody in these mega churches is looking for anyone. They got 99 and they ain't going out for the one. There ain't nobody keeping track of any attendance in a mega church. No one checking any rosters on Monday morning. No one goes through the list of the sheep and saying, we didn't see the Browns. Are they still around? No one's doing that in a mega church. Say, so you sure are ripping on them lately. I'll tell you why I'm ripping on them, because they don't replicate the body of Christ the way it's supposed to be replicated. Amen. That's why. It's just some colossal examination of like a big concert. And you can float in under the radar. Nobody knows whether you've been there or not. Float out under the radar. Nobody knows whether you've been there or not. No real preaching the gospel. Nobody after going after the one. It says very clearly, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one? Nobody goes after one when you got 99. Wait a minute. Somebody does. Somebody does. Somebody does. That's what makes Jesus so special. That's what makes Jesus so special, because Jesus goes after the one. Jesus goes after the one, and he finds the one. I'm looking for a little boy that I know. I can't do this to a visitor because I get in trouble. Come here, Stephen. Come on out here. Yeah, you'll be fine. King Jesus grabs him up. This is Jesus with the sheep. This is Jesus. This is Jesus with the sheep. Grabbing him, moving him. This is King Jesus. You're out here lost. I found you in a cave. Leg was broken. King Jesus comes and snatches you up. Puts you on his back. Takes you back into the fold. Here. Get in here with the 99. Get in here with the 99. It's safe in here. Oh, he's running away. Look at that. That's Jesus. Jesus comes back and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. My sheep which was lost. Rejoice with me that the Browns are back in church. Rejoice with me that the Smiths are back in church. You can say Smith because there's so many Smiths, you don't have to worry about offending them. Rejoice with me. Get excited about the fact that they're back in Sunday school. Get excited about the fact that they're back connected with the body of Christ. Get excited about the fact that they're getting faithful again. Next slide, please. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. You know why we don't have the joy that they have? Is because we haven't been to hell. That's why. The angels know all about hell. The angels know all about hell. That's why they rejoice when we don't rejoice. We're not even sure that there's really a hell, because if every one of you were fully convinced of hell, you'd be running to that altar in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. But you're deciding, well, is there really a hell or not? I'm not really sure. Come on. Maybe the preacher's blowing smoke. Come on, I'm young. I can take a chance. You know, I'll wait till I'm a little older. I can always trust in Christ when I'm in the deathbed, right? I don't need to do it now. How do you know he's going to come find you then? So I ask you this morning, what other religion has God seeking out for sheep? Please name me a religion that has God seeking out sheep for salvation. Name me one, please. I need someone to name me one. Not in Judaism. No, Christ is the seeker. And Judaism rejected Christ. Right. All right, we're wrapping it up. Stay with me for just a couple more minutes. We'll pull this together. Verse 7 and 8. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Are you getting a sense of how aggravated God is when shepherds aren't feeding flocks? He's not okay with that. He's not okay with these 20-minute sermonette messages that are being delivered all over Fayetteville. He's not okay with that. So, in 9 and 10, look at this divine judgment. Look at it. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. What an indictment, folks. I am against you. I am against you. I am against you. You are cursed with a curse. And I will require my flock at your hand. And I will cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth. Now, folks, listen to me. God picks the whole thing up and jerks it away from Judaism. Amen. The whole thing. He pulls the whole thing away from Judaism. Everything. There are no high priests ministering to the people of God anymore. That's right. Maybe you didn't get what I just said, so let's talk about that for just a second. The people of God are now the believers in Jesus Christ. So the Jews are no longer the people of God. Now, I believe with all my heart they are the chosen people. And I believe, and I'll show you next week from the rest of Ezekiel 34, how God's going to go back to the Jews. Right. And you'll see that next week. But for right now, for this day and time, divine judgment against the Jews occurred in 70 AD when the Romans went in and destroyed Jerusalem. Amen. Notice what it says very clearly. I got it in red for you. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth. God picks the whole thing up and jerks it away from every Jewish leader and starts all over with Christ and 12 apostles and this thing that we call the church. Picks it all up and drops it right into Christianity. Picks the whole thing up. Done. Done. Please don't miss this. This is so important. I'm teaching you theology right now. Jesus does not go and find Pharisees. He does not go and find Sadducees. He does not go and find Jewish leaders. He goes and gets fishermen. He goes and gets a tax collector. He goes and gets the riffraff of society. He pulls together 12 new leaders. And they start all over with this thing called the church. Why? Why did he do that? Because the shepherds weren't shepherding his people. So he goes and gets a whole new crew. God himself comes in, is the ultimate shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd and bishop of your soul, and starts all over with 12 apostles. That's God's plan. I pray that I've encouraged you enough that you'll come back next week and hear part 2. Because the chapter only gets better.